Good afternoon, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome you on our regular quarterly call. Today's presentation will be given by Martin Novák, the Chief Financial Officer, who will talk about the key events of the quarter and overview of the financials. And then the second part will be given by Michal Skalka, Director of Trading. And I'm handing over to Martin to start.
Thank you, Barbara. So good afternoon and good morning, everybody. Let's have a look at the general highlights and then at the financial part, and Michal will guide you through the rest of the presentation. So key highlights of first quarter of 2012. Our EBITDA has decreased by 1.1% year-on-year, or by 300 million Czech crowns to 26.3 billion. EBIT decreased by 3.4% to 19.8 billion, and net income decreased by 16% to 14.4 billion. We are not changing our guidance for the year, which is EBITDA 87.9 billion and net income of 41 billion. Share price, as you can see, closed on May the 7th, 2012 at 720 crowns. Important information that that you would like to announce, and I think that was already published, is that our general meeting will take place on June the 26th, and proposed dividend for the year is 45 crowns per share. Dividend record date is July the 2nd, so investors are able to trade the dividend also the day of the annual meeting as well, and I guess even a day later. Then on the next slide you can see actually what I just said in the graphical format. So I will concentrate on the highlights. So the positive factors is increased production of power plants in the Czech Republic by 4% compared to first quarter of 2011. And then another positive factor is actually increased production of wind farms in Romania and lower total payment of gift tax on carbon allowances. This is caused by the fact that the carbon credits or carbon allowances are cheaper than they were in 2011, and therefore the tax is actually assessed on those carbon credits is significantly lower. Possible negative factors, impact of correction factors on distribution in the Czech Republic. Actually, the net result of the correction factors in the distribution business is negative for 2012. However, we are not losing that money, and we will get them in 2013 and 14. Higher depreciation levels, obviously. Regulatory decisions in Albania and decrease of Czech crown euro hedging rate of the currency. Possible risks of the highlight or of the forecast: economic slowdown in the EU, falling prices of carbon credit, which would have a pressure on low prices of electricity, and of course developments in the European and national regulatory framework, especially in the Balkans. Our share price has been basically flat with the beginning of the year compared to PX index, which is Prague stock index, and also Bloomberg utility index. We are about, almost 20% better than the index. On next slide, you can actually see highlights of our recent bond issue. We established ourselves very successfully in the U.S. We issued 300 million 30-year tranche of the bond and $700 million 10-year bond in the U.S. We immediately swapped it into euros. So for us, it behaves like a euro bond, which means hedge towards our euro sales. And the total interest on the 30 years is actually 5.07% per annum and 4.06 at 10 years. This is a relatively unique issue. There was a strong demand for our bond. We established cost of financing that is almost on par with EDF, which is supposed to be one of the most credible or the most credible utility in Europe. And we are way below in our financing of in our cost of financing, way below our many of our competitors from Western Europe. This is the longest maturity of an issue in Central and Eastern Europe. This is the first issue basically between German and Russian border from the Baltic Sea down to Mediterranean. So nobody in the region issued anything like that. So the first one on issued on a rule 144A of the U.S. Securities Exchange Securities Act. And I already discussed the interest rates that we are very happy with. Highlights of the past quarter on the next slide. The renewal of construction of power plants is continuing. You can see the details of the plants on the slide. We are also taking steps to spin off Počerady coal plant into a separate company so that it would open up for future solutions of the issues with the coal supplies. There are negotiations process to remedy adverse regulatory parameters in Albania. Basically, as you will see from our results, we were relatively negatively hit with Albanian regulator's decision that we are now renegotiating with full political support of our government as well. And the first renewable power plant of ČEZ Group in Bulgaria was launched, which is a 5-megawatt solar park, and this is part of the scheme that we agreed to when we purchased Varna power plant to invest 40 million euros into renewables in Bulgaria. On next slide, probably quite important information on Temelin construction. This is actually related to our project of enlargement of Temelin nuclear plant by two new units. We have two units there, and we are actually in the middle of tendering the third and fourth unit. We are actually considering inviting partners or partner to share with us the project. Although we are able to cover it from our own cash flow and debt capacity, we would not really have too much space to concentrate on our other opportunities. So for us, it would make sense to follow the model of basically all constructions of European and not only European power plants these days that are built with a few companies actually participating. And this is not going to change any deadlines for the decision on the supplier and on the tender, actually, which should be decided by the end of next year. This is really about looking for either utilities like us who would want to take a share in the project, or even financial investors. Benefits, as I said, is risk sharing with another party, opening up opportunities for another type of investments if they are available, and of course additional know-how as well. Important information, the dividend. As you can see from our historical chart for past 11 years, we are proposing dividend on the level of 45 crowns per share, which is a payout 59%. Basically, the closest to 60% as it can be rounded to full Czech crowns, so 45 crowns per share. This is a total sum or amount of 24.2 billion Czech crowns, or roughly less than 1 billion euros, to be paid as a dividend. The dividend will be decided by the annual general meeting, as I said, on the 26th of June. So those are the general highlights, and now I will switch to financial results. Our financial results can be seen on page 10 with all important information. The volumetric data, which are actually on the bottom half of the page, are basically unchanged. They are all within 1% or maximum 3% of the previous quarter first quarter of 2011. What we are happy to see is actually a reduction in number of employees by 3% or 1,000 people, which is a result of continuing cost reduction programs. Revenues are higher by 4 billion Czech crowns, mainly coming from adding natural gas sales into our portfolio. So this is really, really mainly attributed to selling more gas to our end customers. EBITDA basically flat with last year. Net income fell by 2.8 billion Czech crowns or 16%, and it's mainly coming from financial part of P&L. Operating cash flow significantly higher, but I think this is really only optical point of only optics, because quarter one 2011 it says 5 billion, but it really was around 13 billion. It's an accounting treatment of investing into short term money market funds that we did in quarter one 2011. And such an investment is automatically deducted from operating cash flow. But really, you know, the money were there. They were just invested in short-term instruments on the financial market. So operating cash flow has moved from 13 billion to 16 billion Czech crowns. CapEx slightly higher, and net debt year-on-year has grown by 11%. Net income change. So as you can see, and as I said, EBITDA has really small contribution to net income change. Some of the impact is coming from higher depreciation and amortization, and the biggest part is coming from other income and expenses. So now on the following slides, we will cover EBITDA. EBITDA is changing year on year by 300 million, as I already said a few times. 0.4 billion, which are three first columns, is coming from higher gross margin from power production and trading. Change in electricity prices and exchange rate have a positive contribution of 1.4 billion. Change in volume, 300 million. And emission rights is actually a negative effect of 1.3 billion. Mainly driven by the fact that at the end of 2010 we set up a provision for the CO2 credits that was reversed into profits in 2011 in first quarter, and now in 2012 we did not have this provision to be reversed, as we did not create any at the end of last year, and therefore there is a loss on carbon credits, but this is really not reversing any provision into earnings in 2012. Gross margin attributable to Albania, 1.7 billion Czech crowns negative, mainly due to decisions of the Albanian regulators. Romania went up significantly because of new turbines being put online, which is I think 155 turbines that are actually now up and running in Romania. And generating both electricity but also generating green certificates that we are successfully selling on the Romanian market. Gross margin from distribution in Czech Republic went down by 400 million, mainly due to so-called correction factors. Gross margin from sales business in Czech Republic and Slovakia up by 400 million, and distribution in Bulgaria is doing better as well. So the EBITDA, if you look at the same picture, just from a segmental point of view, actually our EBITDA is positively or doing better in power production and trading in Central Europe and Southeastern Europe, which is basically power generation, Czech Republic, and also the Balkans. Distribution and sale in Central Europe, which is Czech Republic, is basically flat. Distribution and sale in Southeastern Europe is negative due to Albanian impact, and mining is flat to last year. On the following slides, you can actually see the country by country, segment by segment, which I'm not going through in much detail because I already described all the things and all the information, and plus you can find them on the slide. What is probably worth noting is slide 17 with contributions to EBITDA by segment from international business, from distribution businesses. So unlike Romania and Bulgaria that went up by close to 100%, 97% Romania and 85% Bulgaria. Albania went down from zero EBITDA in 2011 to 1.9 billion negative in 2012, mainly due to three factors. First, Albanian regulator did not increase the tariffs on the electricity that we are allowed to charge to the end customers, despite the fact that their national power generator, company called Cash, is charging us for a certain part of production prices that are more than double or almost double of those that we are allowed to sell for to final customers, because they are not able to generate enough electricity from hydro plants that they have, and they have to import it from abroad. Another negative factor is our dispute around the level of losses that we are able to pass through to the end customers. Another issue is actually deteriorating payment morale of the customers. And fourth factor is actually also higher level of losses that we have to buy electricity for abroad for the higher prices again. All those things are question of our or subject to our dispute with Albanian government, and you know, we already involved the World Bank into discussions that is actually guaranteeing part of the money to ourselves, part of the investment. Also, Czech Prime Minister visited Albania a few weeks ago, talking to Albanian representatives on the issue. So now the discussions are moving forward. We are definitely not willing to take any other significant losses in Albania or just sit and wait for what happens, but we really do take active steps. In the worst case scenarios, we would definitely call the guarantee from the World Bank and use all tools to protect our shareholders, including international arbitrage and things like that. We believe that Albanian side understands this point of view. Contribution to EBITDA, mining basically flat. So let's have a look at slide 19, which is actually other income and expenses. On EBITDA, that's what we just discussed, we are basically flat, a little bit higher depreciation due to higher level of investments. Other income and expenses are higher by 2.3 billion Czech crowns. Basically, it's all coming from the line of foreign exchange rate gains and losses and financial derivatives. The 3 billion Czech crowns difference is coming from three sources. One of them is that 1 billion is coming from 1 billion lower income or lower revaluation of the MOL stock option. In the first quarter of 2011, we actually had a positive impact of 1.8 billion, and now we have an impact of 0.8 billion, which means 1 billion lower, so we are positive, but not as much as we were before. Another 1 billion is coming from a revaluation of our Romanian exposure. In the first quarter of 2011, we had a 600 million Czech crown gain on foreign exchange gain, and now we actually have 300 million loss, which gives you a delta of 900 million. And the last one is actually standard foreign exchange gains and losses on the derivatives, which is 1.1 billion Czech crowns. So this brings us to 3 billion. Good news is that in the line other, you can see 0.5 billion Czech crown change, and this is all positive. This is all attributable to lower impact of carbon credit tax. This is after income taxes, 14.4 billion Czech crowns. When you look at our cash flow, our operating cash flow achieved 16.1 billion Czech crowns. 11.1 billion was spent on investment activities, and basically 5 billion were used to reduce our the level of debt compared to end of the year. We maintain strong liquidity position. You can see basically all bond maturity profile of our all bonds. There is also all bonds that we issued. So we issued 1 billion in US dollars and 80 million in euros this year. Our cash position is 22 billion Czech crowns. And we have three credit facilities of almost 28 billion Czech crowns. We are drawing about 25% of our credit lines, a majority of which are actually non-committed ones, and 2.1 billion are committed and drawn. So this is definitely giving us a lot of flexibility to go forward. Now I would hand over to Michal Skalka, Head of Trading, to guide you through the commercial part of the presentation.
Good morning or good afternoon. Let me add a few information looking at the energy market itself. Let me start on the demand side of the market. If you look at slide number 23, you will see that the consumption of energy in the Czech Republic is stagnating has been stagnating in the first quarter. The actual meter data in a year-over-year comparison show a 0.3% increase. That number recalculated for temperature adjustment shows a 0.2% decrease. So essentially, the consumption stays where it is at the moment. There is no significant increase or decrease. If we look on the next slide on the supply side of the market, that is on the production from our own generation sources, we see in both the quarter-to-quarter comparison and year outlook an increase of generated power. If we start with the quarterly comparison, we see a significant change in the coal production, essentially 5% quarter-on-quarter increase that has been essentially achieved due to a higher production from the Tušimice power plant that has completed its refurbishment and has been fully launched into operation. The other changes in the first quarter in terms of total energy produced are rather negligible. If we look at calendar year outlook, the important information there is that we expect a significant increase of generation from nuclear sources, which is enabled by technical changes on our existing fleet of generation assets, where on the Dukovany power station we have already completed some technical changes that allow us to increase the installed capacity there, and some further changes will continue throughout the year. And also one such a change is pending on one of the blocks in Temelín. So this should hopefully allow us during the course of the year to increase the production from nukes by roughly 7%, that accompanied by expected increase of 2% on the coal fleet. So that is for the generation side of the Czech Republic. If we look at the generation numbers abroad, there I need to comment country by country. Comment for Romania is very encouraging. We have managed to install another 15 turbines in the Fontana Levin Park in Romania, and also to start a construction of a Kozelac Wind Park with 7 turbines installed. So we are continuing the build-up of that total wind park that should reach 600 megawatts installed when fully completed. Because of that, we see an increase of generation in Romania in the first quarter, and we see a significant increase of 66% in the year outlook. So we should be able to generate over 1 terawatt hour of energy in Romania from wind this year. If we look at Poland, there the picture is fairly stable. Our two coal-fired power stations will deliver the same amount of energy as in the previous year. If we look at Bulgaria, we see a decrease of generation from Varna power station in the first quarter, as well as a kind of forecasted decrease for the whole year, which is a positive story because most of the production in the Varna power station is driven by a cold reserve contract, that is an activation of reserve power by the system operator, and this power is delivered at regulated conditions. So actually the decrease of generation helps us a bit with the economy. If we proceed to a coal statistics, we see that our daughter company, Severočeské doly, has a stable production of coal this year with numbers that are very close to last year record levels of 25 million tons per year. We expect a minor decrease of 2% this year. If we look at the structure of that of those deliveries, then the delivery to ČEZ should grow by 1%, whereas the deliveries to external consumers should decrease by 9%. So let's look at the market prices and the external market as such. On slide 27, you can see a chart that shows the development of prices in the EU ETS system and also the development of power prices that are, of course, following the development of the emission allowances. We have to comment, unfortunately, that the European EU ETS system is currently not fulfilling its role of a motivator and an incentive for investments into cleaner technologies. The prices are hovering around 7 euros per ton of CO2, and that drags the power prices down to roughly 46 euro in Germany for balance of Kel 12. The forward prices for year 13, 14, and 15 in Germany are somewhere between 49 and 50 euros. The Czech prices are generally 1.6 to 1.9 euros below the German prices. So of course this development of the EU ETS systems is not a very good news for any of the generators in Europe. We are actively involved in discussing and influencing the discussion in Europe about the future of the EU ETS system. And as many of the interested parties, we are looking forward to the planned and expected set asides that we hope the European Commission will implement. The key question is how quickly, but without the set asides, i.e. a withdrawal of part of the supply from the market, the system is unable to rebalance itself to play its role again in the market. Finally, let me conclude with the statistics of our hedging. If we look at our hedging, we have generally executed a lower hedging activity in the first quarter. The statistics is that we have hedged year 13 to a total level of 56%, year 14 to a level of 22%, and year 15, and actually till year 20, because there we have a portfolio of long-term contracts, we are around 3% hedging level. The achieved prices so far, these are prices with delivery on CEP, so these are Czech prices, are slightly below 53 euros for year 13, 53.20 for year 14, and 55 for year 15. So that's the status of the dripping. Clearly, you can see that we have not been excited with the current price levels, and we are taking advantage of rather healthy spreads on lignite. Those are being hedged, but with the essentially nuke portfolio, we are rather hoping and waiting for the set aside to take place. With that, I will probably conclude my part and return it to Barbara.
Operator, now we are ready for questions. Do you have anyone on the line?
Ladies and gentlemen on the line, to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad. Our first question today is from the line of Martin Young from Nomura. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon to everybody. If it's possible to ask two questions. The first relate to your ongoing negotiations around your coal contracts. I just wondered if you could give us an update on where we stand with that. And then secondly, I appreciate the merits of involving partners in the construction of the new units at Temelín, but given the price backdrop that we have and given the cost of new nuclear, it's quite clearly uneconomic at these levels and quite clearly uneconomic to construct at levels that are arguably a bit higher than 50 euros per megawatt hour. Just wondered what your thoughts were around the notion of the Czech government stepping in with some kind of price support mechanism. Thank you.
I'll answer both questions. So negotiations around coal contracts with Czech coal are still ongoing. There are a few possible outcomes that might, result into various scenarios. Of course, one of them is that we would agree on the prices for Počerady power plant, because this is mainly about Počerady power plant. And we would continue next year being supplied from them. Another possible outcome is that we would divest the plant into whoever pays more hands. And CERT is slowing down actually production in the plant. But basically, I would say the two options are more likely, which is either having reaching an agreement or divesting the plant. But the negotiations are at a not early stage. They are at a almost mid year of a stage. We still have time till the end of the year to decide. Then partners with Temelín, yes, you are right that the prices today are not very fantastic. On the other hand, when you look at the lifetime of the power plant, that is 60 years, it's very difficult to predict anything on current prices, especially when you go for such a huge investment. Of course, we are talking to Czech government on the scenarios of, for example, guaranteed minimum price or guaranteed return for the plant when it is built, PPA contracts, things like that, which would make everybody more comfortable to invest into the project. And those discussions are ongoing as well.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question today comes from the line of Patrick Hummel from UBS. Please go ahead.
Regarding your hedging, you just said that you are hedging with healthy lignite spreads at the moment, but you leave your nuclear position open in expectation of a potential set-aside. Given that we're talking about hedges for delivery next year and the year after, and the potentially long-winded political processes to get to a tightening in the CO2 market, isn't that actually a very risky strategy, or are you very bullish that the EU will act within the next few quarters in order to facilitate your hedging? Second question is regarding the potential nuclear joint venture solution. Do you already have an idea what kind of stake you would open up for a potential partner? And is actually the fact that you're now open for a partner or seeking a partner due to the fact that the government hasn't agreed on feed-in tariff or floor price whatsoever, just to get increase maybe the pressure on the government to act? Is there any correlation with that? And number three, very briefly, Albania. When do you think things could be back on track? Do we have to expect further losses in the coming quarters, or is there already a silver lining on the horizon? Thank you.
Okay, to your question on hedging. Well, first of all, we have a firm hedging policy set with kind of a medium, lower, and an upper band of our hedging corridor. So we certainly will not allow ourselves to take any any excess risk in terms of waiting too long or something like that. We are always executing our strategies within the band of the corridor that is given to us by the risk management committee. If you look at the statistics for the kind of frontier, we are already 56% hedged, and we are actually sitting in May. So yeah, I don't think we are risking anything. Of course, we can think of kind of two time horizons. One time horizon being that the European Commission actually manages to do something with the EU ETS system, I would say within half a year, so by autumn, that would be something that would still help us with the 2013 production. Of course, there are also scenarios being discussed where they will not find an agreement on the way how to legally implement the set-aside into the European system. And then, of course, we are looking at longer horizon to see some effects of that. And in that case, our creditors will simply force us later on in the year to hedge. So we're definitely not taking any unnecessary risk. And my mention to healthy spreads was clearly looking at our lignite portfolio. If you do statistics with the low emission prices, yeah, the spreads on lignite are fairly healthy. That's why we are trying to kind of focus in that direction.
So I would answer the Temelin question and Albania. Regarding Temelin, basically, you know, it's not a new thing. We are working on this for quite a while. We already have a long list of companies, and we are in the stage of actually initiating discussions. There are not that many potential partners anyway. You know, we would be willing to look at, we would you know, regarding the percentage or the share, we would definitely would want to be the ones who would have a majority in the project. So we are talking about minority stake in the project. And looking for a partner is not driven by, you know, us not getting any guarantees. Those of you who are involved in following actual development in European countries know that so-called British model is being discussed for 5 years maybe, and it's still not finished. So we would expect that in our case it would be definitely much faster process, but nobody can expect that within a few months you are able to nail down such a big thing that would impact the power prices basically for decades to go. Albania. In Albania, negotiations are now going intensively through. We should know within weeks what would be the final outcome. You know, if negotiations would go the way that we would expect, our estimated loss for the year would be in terms of hundreds of millions of Czech crowns rather than billions. If the negotiations don't go very well, we don't think that we would see significant increase in the losses, because we would take relatively fast action against the Albanian government, triggering the World Bank guarantees and getting basically to some more radical solutions. So all those options are on the table, we are now just going through the negotiations process. I've just received information that is going relatively well. So Albanian side seems to be willing to make any, you know, basically concessions to our demands.
Okay. Thanks very much, guys.
Before I introduce the next questioner, I would like to tell those wishing to ask a question that if you find it has already been answered, you can press star followed by 2 to remove yourself from the question queue. Our next question today comes from the line of James Brand from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, you did mention a couple of times in the presentation, you know, some thoughts around CO2 and obviously, you know, the approaching debate around, you know, whether or not a set aside can be achieved or something else. But I was hoping, given that you are very involved in the discussions, if you could share in a little bit more detail your thoughts on how the discussions are progressing, perhaps what the main hurdles are to get through, and what you think the end options could be in terms of finding a solution to the situation we're in the market.
Well, I was kind of expecting this question to come up, so I have here an information from our colleague who is our main liaison in Brussels, and according to the actually up-to-minute information, the matter is still being discussed within the Danish presidency of the EU. Currently, there's a group of states that are in or for the set-aside. One state has declared that they are against, that's Poland, and the other states are kind of generally supporting set-asides. However, they have difficulty with the legal process around that. So the debate is being the debate is dragging because the initial idea was that the set-aside would be implemented as part of the efficiency directive. That has now been recalled, and the debate essentially is whether whether Brussels finds a way how to actually legally implement the set-aside quickly, or whether they will not find an efficient way how to do that, and then we will be in the scenario where it will take a year or so. There is currently a recommendation from two key committees, that's the ENVI committee and ITRE committee, who have actually voted for a resolution asking the European Commission to take an action and to rebalance the EU ETS system. So there are positive clues from Brussels that this thing will be happening. What is not sure is how quickly, if that helps.
Yeah, that helps. Thanks.
Our next question today comes from the line of Florence Taj from MFS. Please go ahead.
I was just wondering about your CapEx plans for the year. I think you talked about a figure of about 64 billion, whether that's changed at all.
No, it's not changing. Of course, you can see that we invested less than 25% of that amount. Obviously, in our geographical location, it's very clear that it is minus 25 outside your CapEx. And 2 meters of snow, your CapEx plans are definitely adjusted to those situations. So basically, first quarter and usually last quarter are not the strongest in CapEx. Summer times or spring, summer, and fall are. So most of the CapEx would be coming second and third quarter, and of course a lot of things would be finished by the fourth quarter. So we are not changing our CapEx estimates.
Okay, thank you.
Our next question comes from the line of Kalim Kalim from Armajaro Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Hello, hi. I just wanted to find out, I was looking at some of the data that is available on Bloomberg, etc., in respect of 1 year forward and 2 year forward prices. And they're at the moment indicate that they're around 50 euros per megawatt. At which price do you think this spark spread post CO2 cost in Germany for dirty fuel goes negative, or have we reached the bottom of the price in terms of cycle for electricity base load demand?
I'm sorry, I didn't get your question. Yes, the forward prices in Germany are just below 50 euros, and sorry, what was your...
And at 50 euros, which type of capacity can make a positive spark spread, and which type of capacity loses money? Is it clear, the question?
Yeah, colleagues are helping me along. I'm trying to catch your thoughts. Essentially, currently with the prices around 50 and emissions around, let's say, 7 on a spot basis, you have not really a lignite spread, but let's say clean electricity around 43 euros roughly. And that essentially means that all of your coal-fired fleets in Europe are in the money, whereas your gas fleets are actually not in the money with two factors. One, the low CO2 price, and especially with the roughly 11 euro gap between the gas hub prices and gas oiling prices. I don't have my statistics here as to where exactly is the switching level now, but I would roughly guess that we would see switching back to gas with prices of emissions, I would say, above 15, 16 euros, then we would probably see some significant switching back to gas.
Okay.
Is that roughly the action you were looking?
Yeah, so, I mean, do you think the electricity prices have bottomed in the forward market?
I'm afraid they are not. If you really want to think the black scenarios, of course the emission can go further down a few euros from 7. And with the continuing increase in solar installations in Europe, we will see a further deterioration of the base peak spread, which will not help either. So if you are looking for a black bottom, I think 50 is not black bottom.
So which level is the black bottom? That's the question, sorry.
It's not a doom day yet, right? I don't know, this is a wild guess, but if you look at just historical data, we have seen forward prices of 44 euros not that long ago. I think two years back we have seen German forwards around 44.
Okay. Okay. That can be a possibility. Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Christopher Coupland from Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon. Two quick questions for me. Firstly, highlighted, I think, earlier that even without a quick conclusion to the Albanian situation, you don't expect your full-year losses to exceed what you've already now reported for the first quarter. Did I get that right? And your hope for a resolution of that situation and a reduction of those losses, is that the main reason why you've left your guidance for the full year unchanged? That's the first topic I wanted to touch on. And a second minor question, we've seen a significant increase in the minority interest expenses. Could you give us a feeling for where you expect them to be for the full year 2012? Thank you.
Answer the first question actually on the on Albania. We would not expect the losses to go much higher. You know, in the darkest scenarios, they can be a little bit higher. It's difficult to predict by how much, but definitely nothing like multiplying 1.9 billion by four, you know, four quarters. So that's not the case. Actually, so this was the first part of the question. Second,
yeah, and the increasing minority interest is also connected to Albania, which is basically, as you saw, made a significant loss on EBITDA level and also on the therefore on net income level, and therefore we have the minorities growing.
And sorry, Martin, the Albanian situation, what is embedded in your guidance, effectively? I mean, I understand those losses are not going to go up times four, but are you effectively already assuming a resolution during the year?
We do. You know, so our guidance shows this, and this is actually written on the first or second slide or third slide, as a risk to our results this year, that if things deteriorate significantly in Albania, they would have an impact. But so far, we believe that we will find solution. So no huge losses are embedded in our guidance.
Understood. Now. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Thank you.
Next question comes from the line of Olivier Van Dusselier from Exane. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Two quick questions from my side. Firstly, you've revised on your electricity production guidance by close to 2 terawatt-hours in the lignite generation fleet. Could you explain what the reasons are and why this wouldn't lead to a downward revision of the full-year guidance? And then the second question is on slide 3 of your presentation, where you mentioned that European and national regulatory frameworks governing Chase's group foreign subsidies. as a source of risk. Is there anything else that we should be aware of except for the Albania situation? I'm thinking maybe Bulgaria, for example. That's all. Thank you.
Just give us a second. We'll answer you shortly.
So I will answer the second one, and then Michal will answer the first one. So basically, we would not expect, you know, of course it's hard to tell, but so far we are not aware of any other regulatory risks of Albanian type in our portfolio. So that's basically the answer to the second question, and Michal will answer the first part.
Well, if I understood correctly, the question is why are we kind of decreasing the year outlook for a coal-fired generation? And the answer is that, well, one of the main reasons is that the Energotrans power station is actually being delayed, or the merger with Energotrans power station is being delayed. The process is still with the anti-monopoly office, so that by itself is creating a kind of loss of generation. There are other factors such as a delay in finishing of the power station Tushimice, which is now in production, but we have lost half a terawatt hour there, and there were some minor outages. So it's a couple of factors together, which together, however, represent 1.8 terawatt hours.
Okay, thank you very much.
Welcome.
Our next question is from the line of Fyodor Dzieciolowski from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. I wanted to ask you two really questions. You mentioned a few times that you have ability to finance Temelin expansion yourself. Looking from the other side, based on the current power prices, how much debt capacity and at what debt covenants do you see by the end of the decade, so by the time you want to finish the project? And at what level of power prices do you see a financing of the project as a problem? And second question, as a follow-up, how will your dividend policy look like going forward in light of this project? And what's the potential, and then also if you can discuss around the potential downside to power prices, whether you would expect the dividend to be cut as well?
So, you know, I would comment on the Temelin project. Of course, when we project our cash flows until 2025, when the second unit should be commissioned, in our scenarios, we are actually keeping our rating at the current level, which means A- from S&P and A2 from Moody's, which means that we should not grow above 2.3 net debt to EBITDA. The ratio should not exceed 2.3 times the level. So that's one answer. Second is that at the same time we count on paying dividend on 50 to 60% of net income payout. And third, you know, I think it's too early to predict what the prices would be in 2020 or 25. Of course, you know, if prices are low, we would have to consider all options of how to deal with that situation, but I think it's definitely too early to say these days.
I mean, because
so far we are not planning, and so far we are not planning on anything like cutting back on dividend or anything else.
Okay, but I mean, if you leaving the question about the returns aside, at 50 euro, do you think you can finance the project? Because it's around 10 billion euros at the current cost of the production. Do you see this kind of capacity on your balance sheet by the end of the next decade and the current prices?
Well, I think if you do a very simple calculation and you take our operating cash flow on an annual basis, you deduct dividend and you deduct stay on business capex, and you are left with something, and if you multiply this something by 13 times, plus you add debt capacity, you will easily come to conclusion that we can finance it at current levels, because basically the levels of our profitability that we are achieving today are at 50-ish levels, right? You know, I think our average achieved price for this year is 52.5, which is not very far from what we can see today. So that's the answer.
Okay, thank you very much.
Our next question comes from the line of Martin Vedette from Plaid. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Hopefully a slightly more straightforward question. I wanted, first of all, an update on a number of your new build projects, particularly Prunov 2. You mentioned earlier you'd received a building permit. Have you awarded an EPC contract for this project, and what is the current thinking in terms of the construction timetable? And also, if you can give us an update on progress with the Ruzin and Melnik combined cycle gas turbine projects, as well as your two CCGTs with MOL in Hungary and Slovakia.
So Prunov has received a building permit on April, by the end of April of this year, so a few weeks ago. Yes, the contract has already been awarded a long time ago to our subsidiary, Škoda Praha Invest, that is actually our supplier, and they already have under contract all the important parts of the project. The deadline or the timeline, I think we start on September of this year, and it should be commissioned by, you know, we can find out, you can also see it actually in our presentation, on our investor section presentation, Equity Story. There is information on the project. So, you know, 2017 or something, 2016, something like that. Don't know the precise date. CCGTs in Ústí so far put on hold depending on our position regarding our plant, lignite plant that we have there in Ústí as well. So we are optimizing the location together with Dalkia. Second, Mělník. Mělník is definitely a candidate for CCGT, making both electricity and heat only after we acquire Energotrans. So after Energotrans is actually acquired, which is a lignite plant sitting next to our lignite plant in Mělník, we would have two lignite plants actually at one location that would, within 10 years, require certain thinking on what to do going forward. And of course, building CCGT, supplying City of Prague with heat would make sense. I have an information with Prunéřov, it's actually 2015. So 2015 will be the commissioning date. So this is Mělník and Ústí, and with MOL, the situation is such that Slovak project is definitely delayed due to sorting out issues with power, how to get power out of the location and how to get gas into the location. So it's not that imminent. On Dufy, which is a Hungarian plant, we are these days actually in the process of making decision what you know, how do we proceed with this project in the future. So that's as much as we can say now.
Sorry, just to follow up, you said you delayed with how to get power out of the location in terms of a grid connection. Is that what you mean?
Yes. Slovakia, it's about grid connection and gas contract. In Hungary, everything is set up. Now it's actually in the decision-making stage on final notice to proceed, and we are just now these days making the decision, you know, so nothing has been decided yet so far.
Okay, thank you very much.
We should know by the end of May. You know, by the end of the May, there should be some decision made.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen on the line, if you have any further questions, please press star followed by one on your telephone keypad now. It appears that we have no more questions from the phones.
Okay, so thank you everyone for participating, and if some issues come up, please contact Investor Relations. Thank you and bye-bye.